Hello, I'm Linda Feinberg, President of FINRA Dispute Resolution. Welcome to our neutral workshop. Today, our focus is on the importance of an arbitrator disclosure. Joining me is Barbara Brady, Vice President and Director of Neutral Management at FINRA. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Linda.
Arbitrator disclosure is the cornerstone of FINRA arbitration, and the arbitrator's duty to disclose is continuous and imperative. An arbitrator's failure to disclose may result in vacated awards, which undermine the efficiency and finality of the arbitration process. Also, an arbitrator's failure to disclose material information will result in the arbitrator's removal from our roster. So, Barbara, please define disclosure for us.
Disclosure involves an arbitrator telling FINRA and FINRA sharing with the parties through the arbitrator's disclosure report information concerning the arbitrator's experiences, education, employment, and relationships that may affect or even appear to affect the arbitrator's ability to be impartial. Anything that could cause a party to reasonably question the arbitrator's ability to render a fair decision must be disclosed.
Anything is pretty broad. Can you elaborate?
For starters, arbitrators should disclose any direct or indirect financial or personal interest in the outcome of the case. By that we mean, could someone reasonably suggest that the arbitrator or someone close to the arbitrator, a spouse, a family member, friend, employer, or colleague, could be impacted, for good or for bad, by the final outcome of the dispute being decided by the arbitrator? This is a question each arbitrator needs to consider carefully. Another question each arbitrator should consider thoroughly is this: is there now, or has there ever been, a financial, business, professional, family, social, or other relationship or circumstance with any party, a party's representative, or potential witness that is likely to affect or appear to affect my impartiality? Arbitrators need to realize that parties conduct in-depth research on arbitrators listed for service. They use online search engines such as Google or Bing. They review the websites associated with an arbitrator or an arbitrator's employer. They look up arbitrators on LinkedIn and other social media sites. And they refer to legal search engines such as Pacer or LexisNexis.
And parties don't research arbitrators only during the selection. They also research arbitrators after an award has been rendered. Because arbitration awards are intended to be final and binding, it's FINRA's mission, and it should be your mission also, to ensure that nothing jeopardizes the finality of an award, least of all an arbitrator's failure to disclose information. Considering questions regarding even the appearance of impartiality should naturally lead arbitrators to disclose issues such as brokerage firms, where the arbitrator or spouse or an immediate family member has or even had an account. Brokerage firms where the arbitrator, spouse, or immediate family member is or ever was employed. Lawsuits, where the arbitrator, spouse, or immediate family member is or was a party, even if the suit was not related to investments. Any brokerage firm where the arbitrator represented a party in a case against the firm or defended the firm, either in the capacity of an attorney, expert, or other professional. The arbitrator's authorship of publications, including books, articles, blogs, and Twitter feeds. The arbitrator's current and past memberships in professional organizations and bar associations. Any board on which the arbitrator serves, and any existing or past service as a mediator for any of the parties in the case for which the arbitrator has been selected.
That's right, Linda. Those are just a few examples of disclosure. The list is not exhaustive. As Linda's examples illustrate, Arbitrators need to consider all aspects of their professional and personal lives in making disclosures, keeping in mind that a connection between an arbitrator and the parties, or the matter in dispute, is never too remote to disclose.
That's because whether a disclosure is remote is up to the parties to decide, not the arbitrator. Arbitrators should also be aware that the vast majority of disclosures will not disqualify them from serving in our forum. However, the failure to disclose certainly puts an arbitrator's standing in our forum in jeopardy. Because the duty to disclose is not only a FINRA rule, it is also well established in the Code of Ethics for arbitrators in commercial disputes. Though promulgated by the American Bar Association, all FINRA arbitrators are required to abide by the Code of Ethics when serving in our forum. A copy of the Code of Ethics can be found on our website at finra.org.
To assist in identifying possible conflicts and making disclosures, FINRA provides arbitrators with two valuable tools at the time of the arbitrator oath: the arbitrator disclosure checklist and the arbitrator's disclosure report. Both of these tools are intended to ensure that arbitrators consider all possible disclosures and provide a complete explanation of any disclosed conflict to the parties. The disclosure report is a summary of the arbitrator's background, education, employment, disclosures, and conflicts. The accuracy of the disclosure report is of primary importance to the parties when selecting arbitrators. It is every arbitrator's responsibility to ensure that their disclosure report is current and accurate. We'll discuss later efficient means by which arbitrators can keep their disclosure reports up to date.
What advice do you have for arbitrators to ensure that their disclosure report is current and accurate?
It's imperative when signing the arbitrator oath that arbitrators again review the disclosure report for accuracy. I stress again because arbitrators should be consistently and actively reviewing their disclosure report. They should not wait until assigned a case to ensure that their disclosure report is current. By that time, parties have likely selected the arbitrator from a list of potential arbitrators. When parties select arbitrators for service, they should have confidence that they are making their selections based on accurate, up-to-date information provided by the arbitrators in advance. The parties want to have updated disclosure reports when they are making their list selections, not later when the arbitrators are appointed to a case. Also, when signing the oath, arbitrators must carefully read and answer the questions contained in the arbitrator checklist. While the checklist may seem long, admittedly it's 41 questions, each question is intended to help arbitrators fulfill the disclosure obligations. Arbitrators should pay close attention to the questions in the checklist, because they change frequently, and because they are not just a rehash of the information in the disclosure report. The checklist asks some very case-specific questions. For example, have you formed an opinion, positive or negative, about any of the parties, their counsel, or the subject matter of the arbitration? Or have you, your spouse, or an immediate family member invested in or held any of the securities that are the subject of the arbitration? Arbitrators must complete the checklist to the best of their ability, after doing their own due diligence, and return it to the assigned case administrator before the first pre-hearing conference.
Barbara, we mentioned at the start of this presentation that an arbitrator's failure to disclose may result in a vacated award. Let's explore that further.
While FINRA does not have an appeals process to vacate an award, parties may file in court a motion to vacate an arbitration award within the statutory time period. In doing so, parties must state at least one of the grounds on which they are requesting the court to set aside the award. While successful motions to vacate arbitration awards are rare, one of the limited grounds for challenging an arbitration award is evident partiality based on an arbitrator's failure to disclose conflicts of interest and other information that could give the appearance of bias. This is one of the many reasons that FINRA requires arbitrators to make a wide variety of disclosures. It is in the best interest of the parties and in the best interest of preserving the finality of the arbitrator's award that arbitrators fully disclose all situations that might reasonably be perceived to affect the arbitrator's impartiality. Failing to fully disclose could result in a considerable waste of time and money for all involved. And, as we mentioned earlier, failure to disclose material information will also result in an arbitrator's permanent removal from FINRA's roster.
In addition to an award being vacated, failure to disclose can have other consequences, such as a delay in the arbitrator selection process, a challenge for cause to the arbitrator after the parties have selected arbitrators, and damage to FINRA's reputation as a fair and impartial forum. So, how does FINRA help arbitrators meet their disclosure obligations?
We do a number of things, but let's start by offering some helpful tips. First, arbitrators should strive for consistency between their publicly available information and the information contained in their disclosure report. As we said earlier, parties conduct research on arbitrators. In fact, counsel in FINRA arbitrations often state that the most important part of their representation of a party is the diligence they exercise in selecting the arbitration panel. Parties research arbitrators using social media sites such as Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
And speaking of social media sites, arbitrators should not add, as friends or connections, attorneys or parties from arbitration cases on which they have served or are serving. Doing so may raise doubts about the arbitrator's ability to serve as an impartial arbitrator and may undermine the arbitration process.
Parties also conduct research on arbitrators by reviewing the websites associated with an arbitrator or an arbitrator's employer. So consistency between these sites and the arbitrator's disclosure report is imperative. For example, if an arbitrator is affiliated with a law firm and the firm's website indicates that the arbitrator is of counsel, but the arbitrator has not disclosed this of counsel relationship on the disclosure report, this is a significant problem. The information between the two sources is inconsistent, and parties have a right to know why. It may also cause them to question the accuracy of other information on the arbitrator's disclosure report.
Parties may also conduct research on arbitrators after an award is rendered. Information found after an arbitrator renders an award that could suggest to a reasonable person that the arbitrator was partial or biased can result in the award being vacated, as we discussed earlier.
Another disclosure tip. Arbitrators should repeat any disclosures made to FINRA to the parties at the first pre-hearing conference and at the hearing on the merits. Arbitrators should allow the parties an opportunity to confirm their acceptance of the arbitrator's service, and, when they do so, their acceptance should be made a part of the official hearing record. Finally, one more tip. While many lawyer arbitrators already use the conflicts software available through their firm to identify possible relationships with any of the participants or subject matter of the assigned case, arbitrators without access to such software can easily create their own conflicts folder or a running list of past case information. All that's required is to document each case with the name of the case, the date of appointment as an arbitrator, the names and contact information of the attorneys, parties, witnesses, and fellow arbitrators, as well as the outcome and date of the award.
FINRA also takes an active role to enhance arbitrator disclosure. For example, we require arbitrators and arbitrator applicants to consent to background searches conducted by an outside vendor. The background verification reports include confirmation of education and employment history, criminal background information, lawsuits, professional licenses, and a Social Security number verification against the master file maintained by the Social Security Administration.
Additionally, FINRA staff conducts internet searches on arbitrators. First, upon receipt of an application from an arbitrator candidate, and then when arbitrators are appointed to cases. The following are examples of the types of information that the staff looks for when doing internet searches. Disciplinary findings by a professional or regulatory organization, malpractice suits, current and past legal actions, both securities and non-securities related, in which the arbitrator was a party, current and past legal actions in which the arbitrator served as counsel to a party, publications such as books, articles, blogs, and Twitter accounts, and memberships in professional organizations, for example, bar associations. When staff finds information that appears to involve an arbitrator or an arbitrator applicant, but which is not included in the disclosure report, staff contacts the individual to verify the information and to seek permission to include it on the disclosure report.
What if the arbitrator or arbitrator applicant does not give FINRA permission to include discovered information on the arbitrator's disclosure report?
If an arbitrator applicant confirms that he or she is the subject of the internet finding, but does not authorize FINRA to disclose the information, the candidate's application is denied. If an existing arbitrator is asked to disclose information, but does not authorize FINRA to do so, the staff may seek the arbitrator's removal from pending cases. FINRA will also remove the arbitrator from the roster, making the arbitrator unavailable for future cases.
Before we conclude, we promise to discuss an efficient means by which arbitrators can keep their disclosure reports up to date.
Yes, thanks, Linda. One way is to complete and submit an online arbitrator information update form available on FINRA's website. However, the latest and most efficient means for arbitrators to keep their information current is through FINRA's new online portal. Arbitrators registered for the portal can view, update, and print their disclosure report, but they can also access information about assigned cases, including upcoming hearings and payment information, schedule hearing dates, and view case documents. Many FINRA arbitrators have already registered for the portal, and their feedback has been very positive. We strongly encourage any arbitrator who is not already enjoying the benefits of the portal to register today. To register, please send an email to neutralmanagement@finra.org. That's finra.org. For speedier service, please make sure that the subject line reads, Request Portal Invitation. Upon receipt of your email, FINRA will email you an invitation containing your personalized link to start the registration process. This link was created exclusively for you, so please don't share it. If you have any questions during the registration process, the Neutral Management staff is here to help you. There are two direct ways to reach us. By email directed to finra.org. Again, finra.org. Making sure that the subject line reads Portal Help. Or you can call our toll-free number, which is 1-855-209-1620. Again, our toll-free number is 1-855-209-1620. Neutral Management staff will gladly walk you through the registration process.
Thank you, Barbara. To conclude, we cannot emphasize enough the importance of arbitrator disclosure and the need for arbitrators to consider all aspects of their life, professional, personal, and social, when making disclosures. For more information on arbitrator disclosure, please see the arbitrator disclosure page on our website for further explanation, together with links to useful resources, including our arbitrator newsletter, The Neutral Corner. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this workshop, and thank you for your dedication as a neutral in our forum.